Beautiful day, and need to pray for our pastor. I guess he's still having problems with his heart, and I know you're getting tired of hearing me, and me too. The name of this lesson today is Esau versus Jacob. And we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 25, probably going through the whole chapter back and forth a little bit, but we'll be all over the place. Throughout the Bible, we find types in the Bible, and we find all kinds of different types of people, but the opposites always stand out. You have Cain and Abel, both of them are completely different from each other. And one's a keeper of the sheep, the other's a tiller of the ground. When you look at Esau and Jacob, there's two totally different types of nations, two totally different types of people. But before we get started, let's pray and ask God for guidance. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being our God and for your precious word. And we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who came and died on the cross for our sins. We're thankful for your word that guides and directs us, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you'll give me the gift of teaching today, Lord. And Lord, I pray that those things that you've given me this week will help others to understand the Bible and understand themselves a little bit better. And to know that we need you, Lord. You're all we have. There's nothing more. I have no power in myself. There's nothing about me that these people want to hear. They want to hear from you, Lord. And I pray that they'll have something to take home with them, something to digest all week, Lord. I pray for our pastor, Lord. I pray that you'll heal his body, strengthen him, Lord, and give him the power that he needs to continue on preaching and teaching us, Lord, until you come. For we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Jacob and Esau. Esau despised his birthright. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 22, we read where Rebecca is pregnant. She's got these babies in her womb. They're tossing and turning and they're fighting with each other. And she wants to know why. Verse 22, it says, "And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went and inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Right off the bat, God's telling Rebekah that the younger will serve, will be the one that gets the blessings, the one that will inherit the birthright. But it doesn't start out that way. And when you look at this, you say, well, God already told him what's going to happen, so that's what's going to happen. Yeah, that's true. But you got to remember that God does not live in time. He lives outside of time. He sees He sees B, and he sees everything else in between. And he doesn't, he knows the beginning, he knows the end, and everything in the middle. And you can't fool God. No surprises come to God. We see the same battle in the first Adam, where it talks about, "For as in Adam all died, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive." So there's a contrast there. These types that are in the Bible give us a deeper meaning to what's going on. In fact, it'll help you understand yourself when you study Esau and Jacob. Romans chapter 9:13 says something that people just can't hardly grasp. It says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God hates. That's a surprise to most people, because we hear nothing but God is love and God is good and God is, you know, God bless me for my food. But there's a lot more going on with God. God can hate. And Esau is said three times in the Bible, and you might say four times, that God hates Esau. Why does God hate Esau? We're going to look at that today. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste, and the dragons of the wilderness. You know, when you get on Google Map and you look at the Arab countries, and you look at where the Muslims live, you'll know where Israel begins and the Muslim world begins, because the contrast is quite outstanding. It's remarkable how dead those areas are where the Muslims live. You don't see no trees. You don't see no mountains. You see mountains, but you don't see the beauty that is associated with the rest of the world. When Israel was taken over by the Ottoman Empire, the first thing they went in and killed all the trees. They cut them all down. They annihilated the place. When Mark Twain visited Israel, he went through there and he said it was remarkable. He said the most desolate place he ever saw. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 says, lest there be any fornicators or profane persons as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. God does not talk well about Esau. And the thing that we're going to be looking at is, and the thing that you've got to ask, tell yourself, I do not want to end up like Esau. I do not want to be hated by God. I want to be like Jacob. I don't want to be loved by God. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 29, we find out where it all began. And Jacob sodded pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, which means red. Now, Esau means hairy and red. Now he's got the name Hairy Red. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And that's an odd thing to say to someone. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So what did this birthright mean to Esau? Why did Jacob want it so bad? When you look at this passage, you can't help but think that here, you know how it is when you're out working all day and you're exhausted and you see this hunger inside you, you're tired, you're thirsty, you want to just sit back and relax, but your flesh is saying, give me something to eat. Feed me. I used to run, on the weekends, I used to run 14 miles, 7 miles out and 7 miles back. And when I got home, I was thirsty. And I was hungry. And I was tired. Of course, my wife was there to always fix me something to eat. But Esau, when you get to that point, you're no longer in control of your thoughts. You're in an emotional state. And all you want is to feed the flesh, to take care of the flesh. That's where our churches are today. They're feeding the flesh. They're feeding your emotions. And they're not feeding your spirit. There's nothing about Esau right now that has anything to do with spiritual things. He's thinking about me, myself, and I. He doesn't have anything else in mind. He's not looking to the future. He's looking at the here and now, just like our world is today. We're all about the here and now. As Esau's smelling the soup, Jacob's stirring it on by stirring that pot of stew, and he's getting that aroma in the air, and the more that aroma is in the air, Esau's stomach's just turning and growling, and he's wanting something to eat. And his birthright doesn't seem that important to him right then. You should never make an emotional decision. You should always wait until you got your faculties together and you ask the Lord, what am I to do? And then God will... My dad always gave me an advice. He said, when you go buy a car, he says, find the car you want and then go home and wait 24 hours before you buy it. He says, don't ever make an emotional decision about a car. Go home and think about it. And pray about it and see what God has to say. And he's always right. I mean, Dad always had clunkers. I mean, he never had I think the whole time I was growing up, we had one nice car. And of course, someone tailed in, hissed and tailed in about killed everybody. But anyway, he made an emotional decision and it cost him. And he despised his birthright from that point on. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And that's where Esau was. He was all about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He thought he was dying. Anybody can get a meal. Anybody can go out there and find someone that's going to feed him. If nothing else, he could have picked up a piece of bread and ate that and found him some water and drank that. But anyway, he didn't want that. He wanted that pottage. And he sold his birthright. So what does that birthright mean? To Esau, all he could see is Abraham and Isaac and the fact that they wandered around like strangers in the land. They didn't own anything other than cattle and some goats and some sheep. And he said, what good is this birthright going to do me? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham, Isaac were all about the promise. And the promise was that unconditional covenant that God gave him. What does that mean to you, though? Well, one thing, it means this book Where did this book come from? It could have come from Esau, but Esau despised his birthright. So Jacob brought the book. The Savior could have come from Esau, but it came from Jacob because Esau despised his birthright. And when you despise that, God doesn't think highly of you. We see a lot of, I've seen a lot of preachers over the day, you know, they just go partially into the ministry. They work and they preach on the side. And their church doesn't quite grow like it should, or their ministry doesn't quite grow like it should, because they're like a little bit like Esau. But everybody has Esau in them. We're all about making money. We're all about success. We're all about a home, and we want it now. You see those commercials on TV? It's my money and I want it now. You see, you talk to realtors and they talk to young people that are out buying houses, and they don't go for just a normal house. They want the big houses. Of course, they're making good money, but they want the big house now. And my son used to help build houses, and he said he'd go in a year later and he'd go in these $400,000, $500,000 homes that these young people bought. And they would go in a year later to check the foundations and make sure everything was good. And it would be full of bing bags and air mattresses. They couldn't afford furniture. And you say, how's that? How do you live like that? Well, it looks good on the outside. And that's what people are concerned with today. They're concerned with what you see on the outside, not what's on the inside. Esau was the same way. Esau wanted to be prosperous. He wanted it all, but he didn't want that birthright because he didn't want to wander around in land that he didn't own. He wanted to have something. He wanted to be a success. So he despised the things of God. But God gave Abraham's offspring a blessing. And this blessing has carried him through for the last 4,000 years. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And has a Jew blessed the world? Yes, they have. That Bible you got in your hand was written by Jews under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Savior came from a little Jewish girl in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And he went to a cross and he died on the cross for our sins. And by doing that, we have a birthright. And our birthright is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he means when he says born again. When you're born again, you're given a birthright. You're given a birthright through his Son. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to be called the sons of God. You're a son of God if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What a wonderful blessing. And Esau rejected that. He didn't want that. If you will, hold your place there at Genesis chapter 25, verse 27, and then go to Genesis chapter 3, in the first verse. I want to show you something. God always does something little. He always shows you something. And I wouldn't have known this unless I had the one verse on top of the other. And I was looking and I said, wow. In Genesis chapter 27, or 25, verse 27, it says, and the boys grew. And look at that. And it says, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. That word cunning is the same word for subtle or sly. You go down to, look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Isn't that weird? How Esau and the serpent have so much in common? I think God is showing us something here. He's showing us that this person has chosen the devil over God. You say, well, a lot of people do that. Yes, they do. You know, when you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you become a son of God. You now belong to God. And you have a heritage with God. If you choose not to go with God, who do you choose to go with? The devil. And where's your place going to be? Hell, then the lake of fire. Esau despised his birthright. He despised Abraham. He despised his father. He despised the gift of prophecy. He despised everything about God. He didn't want any part of it. He wanted to do it his own way. Like a lot of people. There's people probably in this church right now. They're sitting back and saying, well, the Holy Spirit's moving me, but I'm not going to be moved. I'm solid. I think I'm okay. But the Holy Spirit's saying, you don't know that you're miserable, poor, blind, naked, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him in your heart. And you're saying, I'm going to do it my way, like Esau. That's what Esau did. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. You know, there's only so many times God's going to deal with you about salvation. And then He's going to just say, okay, you chose. It's your choice. When you get to hell, it's your place. Don't blame me. I sent my son to die on the cross to keep you from going there. But Esau says, I don't care. You say, well, how did Esau know? The first prophecy in the Bible was that God was going to send His son to die on a cross. He's going to pay the price that we can't pay. And He was going to make a way of salvation, to make a way back for Adam's fallen race. Genesis chapter 25, verse 10 says, the field which Abraham purchased of his sons of Heth, and there was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. Abraham had to buy land to bury his wife and himself. He just wandered around. Every one of us in here that are born again, this is not our home. We're just passing through. And hopefully your treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. If they're not, you're going to have a disappointment when you get to heaven. Esau despised the line of Christ. Wouldn't it have been something if in Luke chapter 3 it said, and Esau begot instead of Jacob begot? In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7, it says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. That could have been Esau. But Esau despised his birthright. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. One day the Jews will rule the world, this earth. And people hate the Jews. But don't worry, because if you hate the Jews, you probably hate Christians. And if you hate Christians, you're probably not going to be here for eternity. You'll be somewhere else where you don't have to worry about it, a place called hell. Because if you reject Jesus Christ, who was born a Jew, who Christianity was started, was all Jews at one time, until the nation as a whole rejected it. But God's not finished with the Jew. So if you hate the Jew, you got a problem. Esau had sons. Now think about this. You reject Jesus Christ, that not only affects you, but it affects everyone in your family. It affects your kids. Esau had people, sons like Amalek. Amalek was the first ones to war against Israel, trying to go back into the land. And this is what God says about Amalek. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And that's still going on. The Edomites. In Obadiah chapter 1, that whole chapter is dedicated to the destruction of Edom, which is Esau. The Edomites, the offspring of Esau. It says, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Malachi chapter 1 verse 3, we've read it before. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 16. Lest there be any fornicators or profane persons as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. What are you selling your birthright for? Your favorite sin? Are you selling it for a drug? For alcohol? For sex? For the lust of this flesh? I feel sorry for you. God doesn't have much good to say about that. Except when you get to hell, it's not my fault. I didn't send you there. You sent yourself. I sent my son to die for you. And you rejected him. Don't turn up like Esau. And you say, well, I've got all this stuff. God has really blessed me, even though I really never received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I'm not willing to give up all my stuff or my sins. I still have all this stuff, and I know God's really blessing me because of all this stuff that I have. I've got $400,000 homes. I got a million, you know, I got these real expensive cars. I have all this. When Jacob was going back into the land after his wives and his 12 sons, and they had all these herd of cattle and sheep, and they were going back into the land, and the last thing that Jacob heard was Esau was going to kill him for taking his birthright and taking his blessing. And Jacob was really nervous about it. He struggled with the Lord, and you know, he got a blessing from the Lord and all that. He got his name changed from Jacob to Israel, and he's going into the land, and he's put out a big old herd of cattle in front of him, and that was an offering to Esau. And when he got to Esau saw him, and he ran up to him and grabbed him and kissed him and hugged him. And he was so happy to see his brother. And everything seemed to be okay. And it kind of shocked Jacob. And Esau said, "What's all this?" He said, "That's an offering to you. A peace offering." And Esau says, "I have enough. I have enough." You know what that means? That he didn't need anything. That he had all. He thought that God had blessed him so much with all this stuff and all these things that he didn't need anymore. He had enough. I've never seen a rich person that had enough. But Esau had enough. He believed that God was blessing him. And he was farther from the truth. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Because Esau rejected his birthright. So don't go around thinking that because I have all this stuff and I have all this money in the bank and I have all these things that's all I need. Because all it takes is a stock market to fall. All it takes is for a financial collapse in this country, which is imminent, $21 trillion in debt. Right now, you look out west, and they're not talking about this, but Nebraska had a big flood. And they said, "Well, you know, that's Nebraska, that's okay." That's our farmland. And now this is going all the way over to the Missouri River, and it's flooding that thing, and it says it's going to be catastrophic to the food. And it's going to raise the price of food to astronomical levels, and we're going to start have to import food to feed the population of America. And that's going to cause a financial strain on America. We're already in a financial strain. So what is this going to do? So it doesn't matter how much money you have and how much you think you're buffered from tragedy happening. It doesn't matter. Money doesn't mean nothing. You know, you talk to a Jew, and I've had a lot of friends that are Jews, and we've talked about, you know, and most of them are rich, and they always said, you know, he said, we talked about money in the bank. He says, they say, no, you buy land. Invest in land. They ain't making no more land. That's where the money's at. So if you want to get rich, buy land. But money doesn't mean anything. Money goes up and goes down. You know, gold prices go up, they go down. And in the tribulation, it won't matter anyway. But anyway, every one of us has an Esau. When you're born like Esau. You know, it says that Esau was born red, like hair all over his body. And you say, "Well, that's odd." I think it's a picture of every one of us in this house. When you're born in sin. Red is the color for sin. He'd probably look like a little animal coming out of the womb. When you die, if you die without Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're a beast fit for destruction. Right? So Esau represents that beast in man that's fit for destruction. Now when you get saved and you get born again, you become a new creature in Christ. You still have that old nature, but that new nature, you got a new nature. And that new nature, I'm going to call him Jacob. He's not quite right. He's got a lot of problems, like everybody here. We're not perfect. We won't be perfect until we get our new name, Israel. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says, put off the old man with his deeds. When you get to Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, that's where you get your new name. It says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. Every one of us is going to get a new name with a new body. We'll get rid of this flesh. We'll get rid of the old Esau completely when we get to heaven. I can't wait. I hate the Esau. When you get to David in Genesis chapter 39. In Genesis chapter 39, I'm not staying on script, but I don't care. In 39, verse 16, David says something kind of, he talks about something and then he goes to something else. And I was looking at that and I thought, well, I know why where he's going. Because I have the same problem myself. He says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sea. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou shalt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that I hate them, that hate thee, and am not grievous with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think David, when he's looking at this, he's looking at himself. And what he hates is what's in himself. I mean, every one of us have thoughts that we wished we'd never thought. They come up all the time. And we think of evil and wicked things that we hate. But it's all a part of us. Because we have that old man, that old Esau. And I think David was looking at that old Esau. David, in his life, had done some horrific things. And even when he got right with the Lord, he was never the same as he was before. Sin has an effect on people. David, if you read, he was, after Bathsheba and after his son Absalom and all this stuff, he was a cruel man. He was never like he was. And that's what sin does to Christians. It makes you hard, makes you mean. But I hate that old man in me. I hate that Esau. I'm like God. I hate him. I know God hates it. Proverbs chapter 1:27 says, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, when then shall ye they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would come with none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't receive Him, one day God's going to say, I've had enough. When you call me, I'm not going to hear. And I pray that there's no one in this place that has made that decision, that is holding on to the pew, that's holding on to their sin, that's holding on to their thoughts of grandeur. You know, I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do it this, and God's going to love me for it. God loves you when you love His Son. We're almost to the end, and we're almost ready to go up. And I feel sorry for young people. I really do. I pray for you every night. I pray for all the kids in this church, because in California they're sending little kids home with abortion propaganda in their pockets to their home. Tell their moms, don't have no more babies. Have abortions. They're sending kids home with porno. They're indoctrinating our children into sodomy. You don't pray for God to bless America. If you're doing God bless America, you're wrong. You should be praying, God, have mercy on America. Amen. This country is vile. There's nothing good about it. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, it says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. We need to start praying for God to remember mercy, because God is judging America, and most of the population doesn't even know it. There's things going on in this country that is going to devastate us, maybe not right now, but very soon. It's happening all over the world. It's not just happening in America. It's happening all over the world. There are floods, and there's earthquakes, and there's volcanic eruptions, and there's all this stuff going on, and the news media is silent on it. Because when it's all over, said and done, it's just going to be over. And people will try to go to church, but the churches won't be here. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, it says, because thou sayest I'm rich, and I read this every time I teach, because God always brings me right back to this same verse. Because thou sayest I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. That's the doctrine of Esau. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And people say, well, I believe that they're saved. If you go back to to Matthew chapter 13, it talks about the wheat and the tares. There's tares in the church. The tares is not, it looks like wheat. It feels like wheat, but when you throw it up in the air, the wind drives it away and the wheat falls to the ground. God says, I'm going to separate the wheat from the tares one day before the harvest. And I pray that there's no tares in this church. Because when you try to come one Sunday, you're going to come and there's going to be an empty house, hopefully. In most churches, it won't even mean a thing. Because they have the doctrine of Esau. I didn't mean to get that worked up. But this is a good study on where we're at. The world is Esau. And God hates it. Because they've rejected the birthright. They've rejected God's Son. There are Christians around the world that are being massacred. They don't put that on TV at all. But there's hundreds, thousands of people being massacred every day around the world. The Chinese are hiding. They have this facial recognition, and people put these videos on the internet, and these Chinese are so bold that they don't care because they can look at those films and do that facial recognition and know exactly who you are and where to come and get you. Total control. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that there's no one here that doesn't know you as their Savior. I pray that there's no one here that is riding the fence, Lord, that thinks everything's okay because they have food on the table and money in the bank and big houses. Because, Lord, all that's just dung. It doesn't mean nothing. Lord, we put our trust in you. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless our pastor. I pray that you'll heal his body, Lord, and heal his heart. Lord, we love him so much, Lord, and the world needs him, Lord. We need men raised up like him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. Help this church. Help the preacher that's coming up here next, Lord, to preach the gospel. I pray that you'll give him the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that he'll preach to our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit has dominion in this place. And Lord, if there's a lost soul in this house, Lord, I pray that they don't go out of here without you. Lord, we pray for our health. We pray for everything, but we need to pray for the lost. Eternity is a long time in hell. I pray that your name be lifted up, that the songs that we sing will glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.